Praise the Lord, church. We bless God for another day. I want you to know that anytime you are able to come to His presence, it's always a reason and there is something that He wants to do. As you're sitting down, can you turn to your neighbor and say to him or her, pay attention, he has something for you. I want to give a warning. Please, and now pay attention. Are you paying attention? Pay attention. Now, listen to me, brethren. The moment, if you are able to come to church, right? God prepared your heart. You were ready. And you came. You actually come. The moment you step in, tune in. Pay attention. This is not a social gathering. Otherwise, it will become one for you. That every Sunday we go to church, but nothing happened from there. Do not let anybody distract you. And do not let the devil use you to distract people. There is consequence for it. During the moment you come, the service starts, whether it's Sunday school or not. Know when to greet and chat and talk and talk and talk. Know when to pull somebody outside. It must be urgent. Stay focused. Do not let the devil use you to be the one to distract people when it is time of their blessing. Watch it. Be careful. Be sensitive. Pay attention. If you don't have to, sit down. If you are not an usher, stop walking around. Pay attention. Because there is time for everything. You came for a reason. And one of the major reasons is to worship Him with your obedience. You don't go to Biden or the governor of your state and you are not giving him attention. It looks like you are not serious. You don't know why you come. If you know why you come to His presence, stay focused. The blessing doesn't only come during prayer or during preaching. It's a God of appointment. Your appointment starts from the time it is announced until the time we share the grace. Stay in tune as you are in His presence. Be pouring your heart unto Him, because that is why you came. And let Him touch you. Every situation bows down to His lordship. Let Him take over. But you be available. I want you to bow down your heads this morning. Lord, I am here today. Speak to me. Touch me. Reveal yourself to me. You are my maker, my sufficiency. Father, I pray that you reveal Jesus unto us and let there be a huge turning around in our lives by the time we come to the end of the service today, that our coming will not just be as usual. Open our eyes of understanding. Give us the word that we turn things around for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Business Ministry Day. So that meeting on the 2nd of June, join, tune in, Let's talk together. Our lives is business unto the Lord. Yes. And he had planted a lot of things in us, and he wants us to be fruitful, right? And besides that, he puts in some people's heart what to do in terms of the power to make wealth comes from him. Our focus this day, today, is from the book of Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 12, King James Version. And let us read it together. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let's read it again. The righteous shall flourish, and it shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Can you read it the third time and put your name as the righteous? Victor shall flourish like a palm tree. I will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Amen. Do you know, and I'm sure you are aware, that God's plan for us is to flourish. He wants us to flourish. And when I'm talking about flourishing, please, it goes beyond just having money. Money is not enough. When it comes to blessings of God, when it comes to what God wants our life to reflect, money is just one. It's there. Money is good. Yeah, it's good. But it is minor. When we're talking of the package. Everybody say package. Package, the package that God has for us as his children. Reading the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, I know I did not give it to you, but listen, brethren, there are five major things. Amen? Do you know it? I have something for you. Where's my wallet? Amen. Hallelujah. Munachi, tell me the first one. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. This is not actually part of the sermon, but yes, we can say it. God said, number one, be fruitful. Everybody say it, be fruitful. Number two, multiply. Number three, replenish. Number four, subdue. And number five, dominate. Whew. Do you like that? Let me go over it again. God said, Victor, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and dominate. So if you see me dominating, it's not because I am proud. It is what God pronounced on me. When you see me being fruitful, I am not going out of my boundary. I've been called to what? To be fruitful. Let's do some memory verse. When we were little, we do memory verse now. We can still do it today. And after we do it, I will call Chiki to go over the five for us, right? Number one, say it with me. Fruitful, multiply. Replenish, subdue, dominate. Fruitful,
multiply, replenish, subdue, dominate. Anybody? You have to stand up. No, you have to stand up. Yes? Fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, dominate. Hallelujah. Tell me which one of these you don't want. When the scripture says that the righteous, that is Victor, will flourish like a palm tree, God is saying that Victor will be fruitful, he will multiply, he will replenish, he will subdue, he will dominate. And no power of the adversary can change it. See what God is saying about you. You want to tell me your life is not an investment? Your life, my life, is God's investment. And God wants our life to bear fruit. When you do, you invest your money, what do you expect? Profit. Proceed. God wants the best out of our life because he had invested in us the power to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to dominate. I began to look into the palm tree. Why palm tree? Palm tree. Most of us from where we came from, palm tree is a significant tree. Very, very significant. Palm tree may indeed be the oldest living trees because of their cells are not replaced with new cells. Just like in case of other trees. Palm trees grow taller and they are stable. There are a lot, numerous benefits from palm tree. Take a study one day when you get a chance. Go and study about palm tree. When God said your life will flourish like a palm tree. Brethren, when I was reading, searching, understanding about palm tree, I discovered that palm trees can withstand winds up to 145 miles per hour. Even hurricanes that uproot other trees and destroy buildings leave palm trees untouched. Can you imagine when God is saying your life will flourish like a palm tree? So God is saying that no power of hurricane, no evil spirit, no wind or storm can uproot you or move you. You will remain immovable, unstoppable. Palm trees help to make highland look tropical with a visual appeal of healthy. When you look, everybody with, you know, I traveled, I just came back yesterday. I was looking at the beautiful, I said, this God is just awesome. The way he made creation, the way he made the world. If you look where palm trees are planted, you see evidence of healthy, well-grown, tropical in appearance. When he said your life, righteous, you will flourish like a palm tree. God is saying that you are destined to look well settled, very appealing, well established, and situated. Palm trees are often referred to as the tree of life. Due to their importance in various cultures and their numerous practical uses. Awesome. When we're talking of palm tree, we're talking of food comes out of palm tree. Shelter comes out of palm tree. Medicine, come, heart of palm tree. Spiritual significance, come, out of palm trees. Economic value, come, out of palm trees. Anything you can think of, come out of palm. Those of you that like to eat ewedu with amala, do you know that the brooms that is being made from palm trees is used to make the ewedu? Yes. It's different from the ewedu they make here. The one back home, when they use the broom to make it well, by the time you are eating it with amala, I'm telling you, you feel like you are on the highway with no potholes. Driving on the highway with no what? Potholes. Now, I'm making some people hungry right now. Brother David is shaking his head. Pastor V, what did you cause? Palm trees have been a source of food for humans for thousands of years. Many parts of the palm, such as the fruit, the seed, the sap, are edible. See palm oil. See what we're using palm oil for. Numerous things. Palm trees are often used to provide shelter and protection from the element. In many tropical regions, right, palm leaves are used to create thatch roof, which are very effective way to keep out the rain and sun. The stems from palm trees can be converted into woods or planks for making buildings. Brethren, this is not a sermon. This is just to tell you, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. That tells you that, see, everything I just mentioned, when I talk of medicine, when I talk of food, when I talk of shelter, when I talk of significant importance, when I talk of economic value, these are all the aspects of your life that God has destined, blessed, for you to be channel of blessings to the world around you. That anybody that come in contact with you, one aspect of your life touch them, their life turns around. People derive meaning from being in contact with you. You are flourishing. And imagine anything you lay your hands on. If you yourself, you are a blessing. You are a blessing yourself. Anything that comes out of you, what do you think it is? Blessing. Blessing. Praise the Lord. Three attributes of palm trees. The first one is uprightness. Say it with me. Number two, fruitfulness. Number three, stability. Uprightness, fruitfulness, and stability. Even in old age, they will continue to produce fruit and be vital and green. That is you. Uprightness, fruitfulness, stability. It means that you are upright. That is, you're always on the point. Everybody wants to be like you, because anything you do, anywhere you show up, everything about you, it's not confusing. Fruitfulness. There is no iota of barrenness in you. You cannot lay your hands on it and it died. No, it will get up. It will be revived. It will be fruitful. It will bring meaning to the world around you. Stability. You can never be aborted. That is, you are standing tall. That is palm tree. Don't you see how tall they are? Yes. And long life in good health is our portion. God had pronounced these blessings on us and there is nothing. When we're talking of flourishing, we are talking of blossom. We are talking of break forth. We are talking of flying. We are talking of being extended. We are talking of showing evidence of success, feeling good and functioning well, standing tall and living long. Do you see that it's more than just money? Money is just, don't think you have money, you are done. Please don't be satisfied, because there are other things that is different from money that is in the package of being flourished as a righteous. Say amen. I will be going over a few things that makes a righteous to flourish, so that you consider your life as an investment from God, God's investment, and also any dream, vision, revelation that you have as to what God wants you to do in your life, whether you are establishing or you are working. That is a business, and it must flourish. The moment you join a department, there should be a reviver in that department. That is, everything that seems to be stagnant, stationary, dormant, begin to rise, begin to be revived. There is a part of life from you that flows through you. And things will begin to turn around. Don't you see when Joseph gathered into Potiphar's house, what do you see? Flourish. And the man said, no, you know what? I put you in charge. You are in charge of everything here. Forget about me. There is something about you. And you think people around you don't notice? They know. They know. There is something about you, the covenant you carry, that is so unique, and everybody just wants to be associated with you. Remain righteous, so that you continue to flourish, because you are ordained to flourish. Number one, what makes righteous to flourish? Stability. It's very, very important. Stability means to be fixed and solid, stable and not shifting. To be fixed and solid, stable and not shifting. Stability comes from living wisely. When we talk of stability, brethren, you cannot separate a stable life from a life full of God's wisdom. The key to wise living and flourishing starts from the fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of time we read it, we quote it, we don't even dwell on it to understand what that means. Living wisely will cause your life to be stable. What does it mean to live wisely? It is the ability to apply the knowledge of God's word that you have understood in your day-to-day lifestyle. So when the Bible's talking about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, knowledge is the information. You have information from the Word of God. Or it's about the business you want to do or you are doing, right? You have information. That is an information. Do you know that when you have information, you are not done? You need to understand that information. That is, have the ability to comprehend. If anybody wants to go into business, you need to take time studying about the business. Don't just rush into it because you have capital. Capital is not information. Study about it. Seek what the Word of God says about it. Try to derive information. Read books about it. Talk to people about it. Gather information about it. As you gather information, right, number two things you need to do, you need to ask God to open your eyes to understand. You know, understanding comes from God. Otherwise, you will have your own interpretation for it, and then you miss it. We were reading something in the Sunday school this morning, and I'm like, this is cool. This is so nice. Sunday school is good. Always go. Make it. Make it. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, I found it. I put it on my phone. I said I will not forget it. Right? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. And I will read it from here because I didn't give it to them. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the very first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. See that? It said, from the day you began to pray for understanding, it means you need to pray for understanding. Don't interpret anything about you with your own head knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, in AMPC version of the Bible says, but whose hearkens to me, that is wisdom, shall dwell, what? Securely and in confident trust, and shall be, what? Quiet, without fear or dread of evil. That is, if you listen to wisdom, if you live wisely, if you apply wisdom in everything you are doing, you will dwell securely. You will be stable. You will be stable. You will be firm and rigid to your purpose. Don't take it off. You will dwell securely. That's number one. Number two, there is a confidence that will be developed in you. You will be so confident. You will be so bold. You will be so courageous. If people are doing it and they fail, and you receive inspiration from God to do it, you will go boldly into it. And guess what? You are not failing. No, you won't. And you what? See the next one. You will be what? You shall be quiet. You know what it means to be quiet? Peaceful. No sweat. No toiling. Anything about God that God is giving you will not cause you to toil. That doesn't mean you will not work hard. But hey, you work hard, you bear hundredfold. You will be quiet. And then, without fear or dread of evil, you will take a deep sleep. You will not be shaken. Stability comes from wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply the information you have, that you have understood clearly, and apply it in your living, daily living. I'm telling you, when you are wise and when you are living wisely, you will know when to talk. You will know when to be quiet. You will know when to move. You will know what to do. You will know when to act, because you base your life on instruction from Him. God is the essence of wisdom, brethren. Every word He says is wise. Every action He does is wise. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. In New Living Translation, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Did you see that? Do not depend. Do not depend in your own understanding. Don't take a move until you talk to Him. Don't take a move until what? You talk to Him. Dad, what do you say about this? Until He says it, you don't act. That is wisdom. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. Don't be anxious. Cool down. When He speaks and you move, that is act of wisdom. Wisdom simply means do not do things on your own way. So verse 6, yes. Seek his will in all you do, whether spiritual, whether matrimonial, whether academics, whether business-wise, whether whatever way, in all your way. Do what? Seek his will. How do you seek his will? Consulting him, searching what the word of God says about it. And he will show you which path to take. Verse 7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Let us read that together. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. One more time. Some people are now reading it, and I'm not moving forward. I still refuse to. Listen, stop the time, because I'm not going further yet. Let's read it again. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Wait. What does that mean? Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. When you sit down, because an idea just comes, you'll be like, I got it. You didn't get nothing. You did not get nothing. Because that thing you think you got, wait. You have to double check with him. He is the master. What do you think you have? Wisdom? You're wise? They will say that. See, to be smart is different from to be wise. There is a huge difference between the two. So don't mix it up here. And just jump into something because you are able to map some things out and you relax. He is God. He is your master. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. It means healing comes from living wisely. The permanent healing comes from what? Living. That is living in accordance to his will. When he said do, and you do. When he says stop, and you stop. You need to learn how to seek God's will for every aspect of your daily living. Then you will see your life flourishing. You're looking younger. Everybody loving you. Man, they're asking you a question. What type of soap do you use? It's not about that. It's about the one in you, your master. Your master. You will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. And that leads me to number 2. What makes a righteous to flourish? Good health. Without good health, you cannot flourish. Without good health, you cannot do. See this verse. It says healing for your body and strength for your bones. That is, you will have the ability, it will be physically well, physically fit to do those things, vision that you've had, revelation he has given you, you'll be able to move with it. Good health is important, and this is God's will for us. 3 John verse 2 in TPT. Beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way, and that you continually what? Enjoy good health. See God's will for you to flourish. You continually enjoying good health just as your soul is prospering. You see the foundation of the good health in that verse 8 we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. That is the foundation of good health. It is important that you have it, as God has blessed us with this, but we have work to do to maintain it. You know how you maintain your good health? You can lose it if you are not careful. So it's very, very good, important to maintain your good health. We all know it, and we say it a lot. Getting enough exercise, of course. Yes. When was the last time you did one? You can't remember. And you will eat mountain, but no exercise. You can't even move. You will stay right there. That's where you eat anything, everything, and you stay right there. Not moving. And you are declaring, you are clear. It's not about I declare and decree. Brethren, it's about acting it. Stop declaring and decreeing, and you are not doing. No, it goes beyond just declare. See, a lot of people have declared. Every day they declare. What happened to them? Declare. Is it just that? You declare. They say eat appropriate portion of food. You won't listen. And you are declaring? Nah, lie. Declaring what? Get enough exercise. Rest well. You will go all day. You will sleep last and wake up first. Every single day. It's not even just once in a while, though. If it is once in a while, it's a different story. But you are used to it and you brag about it. I don't go to bed until like 2. I wake up at 4. Really? Really? And it's not like you are praying. You are on the internet. You are all manner of stuff. You are just doing. One day. One day, you will know the importance of what God says. Eating a healthy diet is one of the ways to maintain our good health that God has given us for us to flourish. You have to eat well. Your mouth should not be anything goes. Anything that you don't even know the origin. The moment they bring it is boom. What? It is a problem. You don't even find out, what did they use to make this thing? Of course we can bless things and eat, but you need to have self-control, brethren. Food can be appealing. If you take food the way it's appealing, one day the food will hit you. Yes! Don't you know that? Let us be wise to maintain what God has given us. Portion control is important. Very, very important. Let me tell you, you can eat anything but portion control. Even water. Do you know that you have to drink water? But at the same time, everything God has given us is to bless us. So while you are dieting, you can touch things, you can eat things as you desire, but make sure you are the one in charge. Not that thing in charge of you, because that thing will keep saying, take more, take more, take more, take me more, take more of me, take more of me, take more of me. And you are taking. You know, some people don't stop until when they cannot breathe. that is when they stop eating. It is a disease. It is terrible. And the devil is there watching. We need to apply wisdom. Bed early, rise early. Did you hear that? Bed early, rise early. Alright, say it with me. It has what it does to your body and your mind. Don't just stay on bed till 12 o'clock. They are begging you to get up. That's bad. Get up. What are you doing there? There are days when you just want to relax your body. It's different. But every single day they had to get you up. No, that person needs prayer. That person needs prayer. Avoid things that can harm your bodies. Don't let your belly be your God. As you see, close your eyes. Take what you want to take and move on from there. Number 3, because of time. Anytime I'm preaching, they always, this time, always just go and fly like. Number three, you must be satisfied in order to flourish. You must be satisfied. That is positive interest, right attitude. Even in the business you are doing or you want to do. It is very, very important. Having a positive mindset leads to right living. It's important, brethren. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, in AMPC version of the scripture, blessed, fortunate, happy, and spiritual prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoy his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. For what? They shall be completely satisfied. Living a satisfied life, look at you, yourself, and all that God has given you, and be happy. Praise God for what you have. Thank Him for what you don't have yet that He's bringing. Don't consider yourself as inferior because you see somebody. And don't go crazy because of what you saw from somebody. No, no, no. Wait. Relax. Be satisfied. Your flourishment will come like a day. Because if you are not satisfied, anything God is putting in your heart, I'm telling you, you will turn it down. You will not appreciate it. You will not recognize it as God's voice. And you will even use your mouth to destroy it before you go into it. Before I traveled to America, I know a woman that was selling akara. And she trained all her children to school. She built house from selling what? And somebody will look at it. If God gives you a revelation of something small, no. I want a boutique. I want a big store. God, this cannot be God. This is devil trying to deceive me to just start something small. No, I like to dream big. It's good to dream big. Everything about God starts like a mustard seed. And it will begin with following instruction. It will begin to take you further and making ways for you. Godliness with contentment is what? Great. That is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. It is very, very important. Indeed, a source of immense profit for godliness accompanied with contentment, that contentment which is a sense of inward sufficiency is great and abundant gain. Be satisfied with what He has given you and praise Him for it. That satisfaction will always guard your heart to remain positive and have right attitude. Listen, attitude is very, very important. It must be right because it can affect anything. Even if you have a vision, if you don't have right attitude to it, you can destroy it. Somebody quoted and said, your attitude, not your aptitude, determines your altitude in life. Do you understand that? Your attitude, not your aptitude, determines your altitude in life. Your mindset can greatly impact your life. Having a positive attitude can help you to rise above challenges and then you will flourish. Let's read that together. Let's go. Your attitude, not your aptitude, determines your attitude in life. Attitude is how you approach situation. Aptitude is how you solve the situation. And attitude is how quickly or how well you solve the situation. The Did you see the difference? So it is your attitude that determines your altitude. That is why it's important how you approach a situation, because that is what will determine how quickly and how well you can solve a situation. Having a right mindset is very, very important in everything that we do. You can see somebody in the book of Luke chapter 17, 7 to 10, he has a right attitude, because right attitude is needed to move mountain. Jesus continued, after a servant has finished his work in the field or with the livestock, he doesn't immediately sit down to relax and eat. No, a true servant prepares the food for his master and make sure his master is served meal. Something is wrong. That is not what I actually wanted. It's a scripture whereby the man said, Jesus, don't come, just speak a word, because I'm a master too. I command people, I tell them to go and they go. I tell them to come and they come. And I know what that means. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I want you to just speak the word. He has the right attitude about whom God is, he is, and what his word can do in his life. And Jesus says something. He said, I've never seen a man full of faith like this. You know what? Before that man gets home, before he got to his house, the servant was healed. Very quickly, number four. Having a meaningful and purposeful life will cause you to flourish. Having a meaningful and purposeful life. You must be aware. You must have the awareness of why you are here. Your life is not just to sleep, wake up, eat, sleep, wake up, eat, sleep. No. You have a purpose. Discover the purpose. We must be missional and focused in our life. If you are not, I'm telling you, you will start a business, you will leave it and start another one, you will leave it and start another one, you will leave it. You will just be jumping around. Keep your mind on your goals. Don't let nothing distract you from the bigger picture that you have. Be creative and think outside the box. It's very, very important. Brethren, no. Listen, the picture you focus at comes to reality. Whatever you keep seeing and you keep focus on it, we become what? Reality. In one day. It is very, very important. When you have the awareness of your purpose, why you are here, or why you have to do what you have to do, it will enable you to stay focused and continue to persevere. Continue to be consistent. Continue to move forward. It may take you a journey, but you will land well. You must admit it, accept it, and stand on it to declare it. I had an experience. Until you admit, you know that you are hindering God from working, actually. So you have to accept, you have to be in agreement with God. For God to do something in your life that you're praying about or you are looking for, because he will not impose it on you. It's okay, sometimes we are not too sure, we don't have the awareness and we are praying. Yes, that's why we go to him in prayer. Lord, open my eyes, let me understand. Reveal to me, I want to live a purposeful life. I want to live a meaningful life. Reveal your purpose for my life unto me. I recently shared a testimony of a promotion I got at work. You know, it wasn't really my desire. I didn't focus on it because I was discouraged. I lost interest with many reasons. I'm thinking of my commitment outside of work. How will I be able to handle it and all that? The day I preach here, that there is a director here, there is a boss here. God wants to promote you. God wants to do this. When we got home, my wife said, he's preaching to himself. I said, what? I said, that job is not for me. I don't want it. And they were interviewing. And you know what? The master, he blocked everybody with whatever credentials they brought and wealth of experience. Nobody fit into it. Nobody was hired. People began to approach me after months. Victor, go for this job. We want you. I'm like, you guys don't know anything. It's not for me. I keep using my mouth. It is not for me. One day, last month, I started the job, right? I told you, April 1st. It's not a fool. April 1st, I started. So, sometimes last month, around 4 o'clock in the morning, something woke me up. I woke up. He said, go downstairs. So, I made sure. And immediately, every picture about the job occupied my mind. Like, where is this from? So I got up quietly. I didn't let madam. You know, men, sometimes we display this decorative ego. You know, no, I don't want it. No. Something began to correct me that's for you. Everybody that I've been coming, you know better than them. And they are telling you, please go for it. Please go for it. Please go for it. I went downstairs. The team said, sit down. I sat down. The old house was still sleeping. So I'm like, God, what's up? What's going on? He said, open your mouth. Begin to accept that job. He said, open my mouth. Begin to accept the job. I said, I don't want it. Begin to accept it. I began to, in the name of Jesus, I receive this job. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. In Jesus' name, God, that's what you said I should be. He said, yes, I receive it. In Jesus' name, he said, use your mouth. The same mouth you said, no, it's not. Use it now and turn it around. So I begin to declare, I received the job. I didn't understand why. I said, this job is for me. I claim, I receive it. God, according to your will, I receive it. In Jesus' name. The next day, they invited me to meet the executive team. My supervisor said, we want you, the executive team wants to meet you. Okay, it's about this job. So I was there. I was making a joke with the executive director of the organization. And I'm like, I've never been in your office. This is nice. Said, oh, really? You haven't been here? I said, no, it's my first time. So tell us why. What can we do in this department that can make it better, that can make it, what are your opinion, what are your thoughts, what can we introduce, what can we correct? As I began to speak, I was saying things that I didn't even plan for, because I didn't even know what they are. So I was giving examples, I was giving insight, and tell us why you didn't apply for this job. I was like, oh. I didn't apply. I didn't want it. I didn't think it's me. But it's you. You're just giving us insight, what we can do, what we can introduce, what we can modify, what we can remove. The job is for you. Next month, I will be 25 years in this organization. 25 years of service. You know. And I've moved around. I started as the frontliner. And today, now I'm the director of the biggest department. When to his glory, right? So right there, I was convinced, it was confirmed while I woke up, because if I did not agree with God, he cannot move. When I agree with him, that's faith right there. Faith in action. And then he turned things around and he came to me without sweat. And within 1 month now, just 1 month, I've seen a lot of reasons why. Praise God. Understand the purpose of God for you, where you are. Ask him. There is a reason why he kept you there. There is a reason why you are still there. Understand the purpose and stand and agree with him, and you will begin to flourish. Even the secretary told me, said, I've been praying that you will get the job because I don't know who will come. I said, oh. I don't know who will come, and I don't want anybody that will just give me trouble. So even the secretary see me as, I'm not a carrier of brethren. You have a purpose. You are to flourish. You are to flourish. Understand the purpose and accept it, and then let God take it from there. Number five, relational lifestyle is important for you to flourish. You must learn and how to accommodate people. You must learn how to what? Accommodate people. Live with people. Connect with people. You cannot live alone and flourish, because the blessing that comes with the package, it is not only for you. God needs to expand through you. He needs to touch some people. Some people's prayer is for you, is your own promotion. Even if you don't know them. Some people have been praying, God, I want this. God, I want this. But for that to happen, God needs to use you, promote you, get you there, and connect you. But if you don't connect with people, you are a man of yourself. You are alone, always alone. Only your idea, only you're the best. You micromanage everything about you. It's terrible. Don't live like that. See, you are in church today, you're sitting with somebody you never know. Say hello. Smile. Smile to them. Come on. Say hello to people. There is nothing wrong in going to somebody and say, wow, you look beautiful today. God bless you. My name is Victor. If you don't have my number, come after service. Connect with me. Let's connect together. Iron sharpens iron. Until you begin to see people as subject and not object, you cannot flourish. Don't see people as object to use. And you're done with them, you move on. See them as valuable, valuable gift God has brought your way for a reason. If you miss that opportunity, it may take you 10 years to recover. Somebody said that if you want to move fast, go alone. But if you want to move far, go with others. Do you understand that? Don't go alone. You can move fast, but you will get stuck. But go with others. You will move fast and you will move far in life. You are to flourish. The last one, I know 1 minute over. Character and virtue is important. So that you don't destroy your own tent that you build with your bad behavior. With a bad behavior. Bad behavior is bad. Somebody said devil is a bad devil. I said there is no good devil. Devil is a bad devil. Yeah, devil is bad. It's evil. Devil is evil. When you remove letter D, it gives you evil. Everything about devil is evil. Good character is important. positive emotion, motivated in spreading God's glory. We are light. People should sit with us and smell that good aroma. The moment you open your mouth, when you smile, they will know it's not a fake one. You know there are fake smiles. No, they will know your own is genuine. Let people miss you when you are away. Not that they will be happy. Everybody will enjoy themselves because you are away for 2 days. No. Let them miss you. Let them look forward to connect with you again. A virtuous life is the result of hearing God's word, believing God's word, and obeying God's word. It is the word of God that can turn life around. I'm telling you, the word of God, the intake, more intake, more intake, more intake of God's word will turn a life around. You will see the best out of somebody you think they don't have. They are nothing. But when God turns things around through the intake of the word of God in them, your character will pave way for your flourishment. It's very, very important. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It is a covenant that God has for the righteous. You carry the covenant. Please follow this to maintain it, because there is a purpose for your life. The reason you live is to flourish. The more you flourish, the more you reveal His glory. The more people are drawn unto Him through you. Let our life touch others. Let everything God gives you. Don't wait until you have too much. From the little you have right now, the little you have, whether it is time you can give to people, whether it is encouragement you can give, whether it is money you can give, anything you can give it with the whole of your heart. Bow down your heads and talk to God.